This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Big weekend for the Celtics. The Cavs on Friday, the Nuggets yesterday. They split in two big matchups. We can get into it here in hour number two of Jones and Keefe. It's a mock draft Monday. If you missed any of Shime, last hour, his mock draft 2.0 up at WEEI.com. He's got the Patriots trading back, taking T-Mac, Tet McMillan, out of the University of Arizona at 7, picking up a future second. Jets move up to 4 and take Shedeur Sanders. We're broadcasting live from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. And I think the Celtics weekend was very interesting, Keefe, on a number of levels. We can get into Jrue Holiday and his injury coming up, but they lose to the Cavs. They have a giant lead against the Cavs on Friday. Tatum, you've seen this cutaway now of Tatum.
Of course I have.
F out of here, Cavs. It's 25-3. He's telling him to get out of his building.
Brutal look.
Next thing you know, they're basically run out of their own building.
He lost the game.
By Cleveland, yeah. Who they've now split with. On the season series, I think that game meant way more to the Cavs than it did to the Celtics, but you were still up 25-3 and you lost the game. Then yesterday, they tried their hardest to blow the lead, but credit to the Celtics, who were without Porzingis, without Jrue Holiday. They're able to hold off Denver, making a comeback yesterday. Derek White with a big bucket in the final minute of the game to make it a two-possession game and ultimately pull away from Denver. Which game meant more? Which game... told the bigger story, the loss on Friday to the Cavs or the win yesterday against Denver? Because these are two contending teams that they faced.
It legit could be the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. And we saw it in the span of 3 days. And not to be a negative Nelson, but I do think that the Cavs game means more in the long run than the Nuggets game does. And it just... The Cavs now, I think, of all the teams in the East, have to have a little bit of confidence going up against the Celtics. They split with them. They're 2-2, and... I understand the Celtics haven't been at full strength for all those games. Like, I'm well aware of that. However, are you going to guarantee me the Celtics are going to be at full strength come playoff time? Because that's how I look at it. Last year, the Celtics did have a pretty beneficial run, meaning everybody they faced seemed to have some sort of injury along the way, and they won a title. What's to say that that won't impact the Celtics this year more than just Porzingis? I know he missed like half the playoff games last year. But if you miss a couple of guys, which might not be the craziest thing to suggest, how's that Cleveland matchup look now? Like, Cleveland's pretty tough. They have guys that can hit big shots. They got Donovan Mitchell, obviously. They got a couple of bigs. Like, that could be a tricky matchup if the Celtics are undermanned. If the Celtics are full strength, I'm certainly going to take them. If they're missing one of their top 7 or 8 guys, I'll still take them. But if they're missing a couple guys, I think you have to at least give them the chance. Whereas before, you felt like they had such a leg up over the Eastern Conference that they could be without 2 of their 7 best guys and it wouldn't matter. I think now if they face Cleveland in that same scenario, you have to at least give it a little pause.
Believe it or not, I would put more stock in the win yesterday than the loss on Friday to Cleveland. But it's because I just... still don't fear Cleveland. Maybe I'm living in the dark on this.
You better wake up.
They've been good all year long. They've split with the Celtics. Like, maybe I'm still asleep on Cleveland. I acknowledge that. I don't really take them seriously. Denver, I respect. You know, I don't want to say I fear Denver, but I respect the Nuggets. They've won a championship before. They're going to have the best player on the floor when you face off in an NBA Finals, if you face off in an NBA Finals. And so I put more stock in yesterday when you're going against a team I respect and believe in and think they're a true championship contender than a team that, yeah, they're a good Eastern Conference team, but I don't know that they're a true contender in the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They've won 50 games now, which is pretty remarkable. They're 50-10.
Right, but we've talked about this before.
No, I know.
They could be the Atlanta Hawks winning 60-plus games and teams like this where...
I think Mitchell's better than any player those Hawks teams had. I think he's better than Joe Johnson. I
would
think he's better than, you know, Mike Bibby and whatever else they had. Marvin Williams.
Like, I think agree he's better with that, those but we, guys. But we've seen teams like this, especially in LeBron's time in the East. Other teams would come in, they'd be the one seed, but they were the one seed, you know, ceremonially, basically. Mm-hmm. They had good regular seasons, but you knew when LeBron and the Cavs or LeBron and the Heat or whoever it was dug deep, they were the better team. I do still feel that way about the Celtics and Cavaliers, so I put more stock in the win yesterday over Denver, personally.
Is Russell Westbrook the best bad player in the history of the NBA? I don't think he's very good. And, like, he gets big minutes on that Nuggets team, and I think it's going to be a detriment. The guy can't shoot. He is a turnover waiting to happen. I don't know. I feel like they can exploit Russell Westbrook. If that's a guy that Denver is relying on, like, Jokic is incredible. Jokic is the best player currently in the NBA. Jamal Murray's hot and cold.
Murray's done this twice to the Celtics this year, where he's just taken over for a quarter and, like, been unguardable, uncoverable for like a quarter and gotten the Nuggets back in the game. Mm-hmm. He's done that twice now to the Celtics this year. So that's a really good number two. I would take the Celtics. We were talking about duos a couple of weeks ago. Stephen A., I believe, took the Nuggets duo over the Celtics, which I wouldn't do. But, you know, that's a really good pair of players they have in Denver. I don't know how deep the team is, to your point.
Cleveland split their two games with Oklahoma City, split their four games with the Celtics, and are 2-0 against the Nuggets. So I didn't go back and look at who played in all those games or whatever else. But, you know, not only are they 50-10, but it does seem like they've gone pretty – they've done well head-to-head with some of the other best teams in the NBA.
A couple items. One here. Guys, you do know the Celtics didn't have Porzingis for the playoffs last year.
Wait, what?
Hang on, wait a minute. What? No, that was what Keith was saying. Keith's saying, can you really expect to have all these guys? And if the league is better this year, can you weather it the way you did a year ago when all those teams were also down good players?
But the Cavs
didn't have Mitchell, right? Not to go through this list for the millionth time. The Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler. The Pacers were without Halliburton for half the series. So, it was easier to win without Kristaps Porzingis a year ago, where the East was worse at the top, and all those teams were missing their best player.
He did play in some of the games. Like, he wasn't just out for the playoffs. I get your point. He missed more games than he played in, but that's also why I don't think anybody can look at these matchups with Cleveland and say, well, as long as Holiday and Porzingis are there, like, can we stop, like, counting on Porzingis to ever play? Like,
I never have.
But I feel like every once in a while you get the, well, they didn't have Porzingis. Like, okay, get used to saying that.
Right.
Like, that's just sort of what it is. And now when he's out there, great. And it should be, you know, it should make your margin of error, I guess, that much larger. But I'm not going to guarantee he's playing.
So Holiday would be a big one. And maybe there's a correlation to all the blown 20-point leads. Twitch chat talking about that now. We brought this up earlier. It was 25-3 on Friday against the Cavs. They had a 20-plus point lead yesterday against Denver. They got all the way down to 3 late in the fourth quarter. They didn't officially blow the lead, but they were trying their hardest. I mean, how concerning is that against top-tier talent that they can't put these teams away, or it took them a while to put away Denver yesterday? How concerning is that?
Yeah, it's been a bit of an issue for them all season long. I mean, you go to the Cleveland game on Friday. When you're up that big, it's the NBA, so there are always runs, right? Like, so if you're up early, the game's not over, obviously. But you should be able to still win that game. Like, even if they come back, you got to be like, they should, you know, they always say, like, oh, there should be like a ton of energy exerted for them to come back from a 22-point deficit, where you should be able to like level it off and then regain the lead, take control. They should be better at home than they are. That's also part of the whole issue with the Celtics. But I do think, and we saw in the playoffs last year, even though the road was fairly easy for them, there were games that were close, you know, Indiana and whatever. They were really close games.
I mean, that Indy series was quite close.
Pretty tight.
For how lopsided it was. Was it a sweep? It was a sweep, right? Lopsided it was.
I mean, Andrew Nimhard had these crazy games. But Jrue Holiday was always such a calming presence that it felt like, as good as Tatum and Brown are, they needed Holiday to sort of calm things down at times. And, you know, save a possession here or there that maybe if you didn't have him in there, wouldn't have ended the same way. So, yeah, I don't think it was a coincidence that the first year Drew Holiday was on the team was the year that they broke through and won a title. And if he's out, I think he's more important than Porzingis is.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Porzingis is more, like, if you're just ranking the players on the team, he'd rank higher. But as far as, like, importance to the team and moments like this, like in the game on Sunday or Friday even, I think he has more value.
So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. What was the more noteworthy game this weekend? The win over Denver, where they held off the Nuggets, tried to blow a 20-point lead but didn't, got the victory. Or was it the loss on Friday against Cleveland at home, up 25-3, and wound up losing going away, even when Tatum and Brown were going off in that game? Again, 617-779-7937. We can get into the blown 20-point leads. And the correlation with Drew Holiday, I think you and I have been actually pretty consistent on this, Keith.
If nothing else.
I've given Holiday quite an excuse all year. And it's I guess, soft on my end to do it. But if you're asking me what I believe, Drew Holiday being invisible for most of this regular season, and invisible might be too strong, but just take a step back.
But just not great.
A step back from a year ago. It's not a very good regular season. There's a lot of miles between a deep playoff run last year and Team USA basketball and everything else like that for an older player. I've given him the free pass because I saw it last year. I didn't love his regular season a year ago either.
No.
And I was more vocal about it then. And then you saw him flip a switch in the postseason. Like, I was fearful about the whole team coasting and the whole team trying to flip a switch. I'm less concerned about him, who feels better at picking his spots and conserving energy. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but if he's going to miss an extended period of time with Mallet Finger.
Wasn't that your nickname in high school?
It's on my basketball reference page. It's Mallet Finger Jones. And so I mean,
a lot of prom dates, this guy.
How does he come back from it? How is
painfully,
is
still, by the sound of it.
Is he still dealing with, like, lingering effects from it? I think that's a legitimate question about this team. Like, I'm much more concerned, to your point, about not having Holiday at full strength than even not having Porzingis, period. Like, they've already proven they can win without Porzingis.
Right.
They haven't proven it without Holiday.
Yeah, no, it's obviously a we-shall-see situation with how long Drew Holiday is going to be back and then how long it takes him to, you know, acclimate back in. But they don't really need his scoring, right? So if his finger is messing up his shot and all that stuff, he's still one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, and he's just such a true veteran and winner that I think if you have him out there, you're still going to rely on Tatum and Brown and even White to do all the scoring, right? So I think just having Holiday, it's still forever away until the playoffs and everything else. So I guess it's just – mallet fingers crossed that Drew Holiday is able to come back healthy enough.
I'd keep an eye on that one because Terp came in late last week. He's like, guys, this injury with Holiday could keep him out for a while.
Serious, yeah.
Like it's what? No joke. It could keep him out for a long time. And so we'll see. We'll talk to Terp on a Celtics Wednesday at high noon on Jones and Keefe. We'll get you the Jones and Keefe bracket coming up here before the end of the hour at 11:45. We'll release all four topics. You can vote on social media and you decide. Where we're going with our Jones and Keefe bracket. We take no responsibility for this.
No, we put this in your hands.
The ball is in your court.
That's right.
Up to you. What we're going to do for topics. We'll let you vote for 24 hours. We'll have the topic decided by tomorrow, and we'll come out with the bracket beginning in the middle of the week on Wednesday. So mark that down. We'll also get to the Bruins before the hour is out. Interesting point here on the text line. This was a weird comment from Mazzulla after the game. Did you see this? Where he basically said Djokovic... or Jokic, rather, isn't part of the game plan.
I don't understand that. And you never know with Mazzulla. Like, is he trolling? Is he serious?
It was a strange comment.
I heard it. I don't really get it.
So
he was given, but then he was also given Horford like a ton of credit for how he played on him. So it was like, clearly he had you talked about him.
I would like to think
like what?
I would like to think Jokic would be part of the game plan. That's probably where I would start. If I were the Celtics, I think that was his way of trying to give credit to the players around Jokic. And it's like, Jokic is going to get his. He's going to put up his numbers. And it's about everybody else. Like, we're not going to be able to take him away. I think that's what he was trying to say. But it was a weird way of putting it. The text line says that comment is proof the Celtics still have a coaching disadvantage.
I don't think they have a disadvantage. A couple years ago, I was
I'm not wiggy.
Up in arms about
I'm not wiggy saying he's the best coach in the NBA, but no. I feel pretty good about where their coaching is at these days.
No, I would agree.
You know, and a championship can change a lot of the outlook on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel pretty good now about where Mazzulla and the coaching staff is at. It was a questionable comment, for sure. But, I feel a lot better about Mazzulla this year than a year ago, and a championship can change your perspective on that.
Well, that obviously helps, but think about all the times we were screaming about timeouts or screaming about fourth quarter rotations. I think what happened was Brad Stevens actually gave him fewer good players, which worked out, because I think he had a hard time balancing the minutes for all the guys that he had, and they're like, all right, just use these guys. You can't screw this up. I always go back to the examples of Derek White would be having a great game and then wouldn't play in the fourth quarter, and you're like, what happened to Derek White? And he's like, yeah, I forgot. Like, you forgot?
Yeah.
Like, you forgot that you had that guy available to you? There's so much less of that where we're kind of ripping our hair out about timeouts, knowing, hey, Joe, you know you have timeouts. You can try to stop a run. I think he's gotten a better grasp of it. And the players, there's no, like, cheap shit. Remember, like, Marcus Smart, some of the comments he would say about him? Like, those guys aren't doing that now.
I absolutely remember.
Well, I know you do.
So, my one gripe with Mazzulla this year with the rotation changes was when Tatum started playing the full first quarter. And it was throwing things out of whack, and Jaylen was starting to complain about his role, and that subsided. So, I mean, that was my one big criticism of Mazzulla this year, or the one thing I was at least second-guessing. I feel better about his ability, again, this year than I did a year ago. I wouldn't take that comment, other than how strange it was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's evidence the Celtics still have a massive disadvantage, because... You know, I don't think he's the best coach in the league by any means. Again, I'm not wiggy on this, but I don't know. How good is Malone? Like, do you love Mike Malone on the other side yesterday?
I just think Udoka's great, and then everybody else is kind of out there.
Yeah, that's kind of the
list. It depends on your players.
Spoelstra, Udoka, and then everybody else.
Yeah,
player
depends on your pair.
Yeah, I mean,
we're seeing that with Kerr.
Maybe that's the real answer. Like, Mazzulla's less maddening to me, but it's still going to be about the players and the talent.
Definitely.
And I don't think Mazzulla's going to get in the way of that. That was my fear. And they've proven that not to be the case.
So Cleveland-Denver is as good of a back-to-back as you could probably have in the NBA as far as, like, challenges. The two other games coming up, though, in the next week and a half. So they have some terrible teams like Portland and Philadelphia this week. So Philadelphia shut down Joel Embiid. Like, what a disaster. Saturday, though, home against the Lakers.
I know.
Home against Luka and the Lakers.
Lakers have been playing well. Are they the 2 seed in the West right now?
They are.
Yeah,
the Nuggets lost yesterday. Put them in.
Yeah. I still don't think LeBron and Luka look like they're playing great together.
Luka Doncic, though,
LeBron is stud.
But they are the 2 seed in the West, 38-21.
And then Wednesday the 12th, they're home against Oklahoma City. So this super long homestand, you get Donovan Mitchell, Jokic, Doncic, and LeBron, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in Oklahoma City. It's a good It's a good stretch.
It's a good run.
You got like a 5-game bundle. Those are the games you wanted to go to.
Oh, it is. And so I think personally, and Keith and I disagree on this, I think the Nuggets win yesterday was more telling than the loss to the Cavs on Friday, but I haven't really given the Cavs a fair shake all year long.
You don't like the Cavs all year? That's fine. That's dug true. It's going to have to be a game 7 of the East Finals for you to be like, oh yeah, Cavs are decent.
Yeah.
Cavs are good.
And even still, I'm going to be like,
no, I know.
We all know who's winning game 7. Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of how I feel about that. Again, you can jump in 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Celtics weekend. Some more big games for the Seas coming up. Andrew Holiday, that injury, how big of a factor will it be for the Celtics? You can jump in on the phones and on the text line. We will get you the Jones and Keefe bracket before the hour's out, or at least the four topics. We'll announce them coming up at 11:45. You can vote on social media at Jones and Keefe coming up at 11:45. And let's get to the Bruins. Trade deadline is Friday, Keith.
It is sneaking up on us.
We've been talking about the NHL trade deadline. We have been talking about the Bruins deadline for so long.
Yeah.
And what are they waiting for? Why are they dragging this out? Why are they doing this?
It is upon us.
They've now dragged it out so far that one of the guys we thought was in the mix to get traded, Brad Marchand, is now hurt.
Right.
How does that impact the Bruins' approach at the trade deadline, the direction of the franchise? We'll get to that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937, right after Trending with Birthday Boy Billy Lanny.